In the name of God, our Creator, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We know so much. We know so incredibly much, don't we? Do you know that we have learned more in the last century than all of human history preceding? Think about that. And in this last decade, we have learned more than in the last century. And just, we know so much. And we understand so little about ourselves, certainly about other people, about the world we live in. There is this intense longing for spiritual life and practice today. I know it doesn't seem that way on the surface, but there is a desperation for spiritual wisdom. You can tell when you look at the magazines and the books and the TV shows and especially the talk shows. What is the ultimate diet? How shall I live in the most healthy fashion which will keep me alive forever? What about angels and saints and UFOs and the paranormal? We are obsessed by transcendence. Partly because the material plane all by itself does become rather boring, doesn't it? That's all we talk about in the society, but there's really nothing to it. We do pray for daily bread. We need daily bread, but we know we don't live by bread alone. The spiritual world is hidden within this present physical world. And that's why the work of Jesus is so important. He's about the work of revealing and making present the very God who seems to be hidden to us. Making present God in creation, in animals, in creativity, in the disguise of the poor, and even within our own vulnerabilities. Those places we don't want to go within ourselves. There is God. The Transfiguration is a moment of blazing, incandescent, sheer light, like the Big Bang, just shoo. But it occurs within two profound teachings of Jesus, which help to give this day's celebration its deepest meaning. The first one occurs just prior to the Transfiguration when Jesus teaches, "Pick up your cross, follow me." Now, your cross is not the daily, ordinary suffering we've all got. The cross is that place where you can make a difference in the world. That's your calling. Those distinctive things which you know about, which you have to offer life, and to which many people will often object or reject. Have you ever had that experience? You're offering your best, and people say, no. Keep that to yourself. We don't need that here. That's picking up your cross. Follow me. Try to save your life. You'll lose it. You'll just go on. Lose your life for my sake. You'll save it. For what does it profit you to gain the whole world? To stockpile wealth and weapons and power and lose life? On the other side of the Transfiguration story, Jesus says that the Messiah, too, will suffer. And the disciples say, that can't be, no way. I mean, what's the point of being a Messiah if you're going to suffer, right? The point is to get us out of all the suffering. And they argue, besides which, Elijah has to come first. And Jesus says, Elijah has already been here. John the Baptist. And the world had its way with John. Isn't that the most quaint? I think that's the correct interpretation. Isn't that the most quaint biblical euphemism? The world, thank you, Ryan, had its way with John the Baptist. Oh, and that's going to happen to the Messiah, too. You see, what Jesus is teaching us is that the sonship and daughtership of the beloved community travels what is called a downward path, always moving closer to those who are suffering, to those in need, to the vulnerable. We are being called to bring healing and caring to those places where it may be void and empty. And sometimes the best we can offer is simply to be with people where they are in suffering, which maybe we can't even change. But for one shining moment, the brilliance of Jesus' compassion illuminates the disciples on the mountaintop. And Jesus is flanked by Moses and Elijah, these extraordinary luminaries within Judaism, of whom the faith taught they were so precious to God, they never died. They were simply swept into God's presence. Which means they're still alive. And here they are consulting with Jesus. But in a brief time, Jesus ends up on the cross, and there he's flanked by two criminals. More likely, revolutionaries. And we ask ourselves, where does Jesus belong? On the mountaintop? Or in this pit and void? And the truth is, he belongs in both. This is the heart, the mystery, the core of our faith, that God becomes as nothing in order to be with us, to experience us as something we can engage. A real human being. That's why we hear this voice from the cloud calling, begging, urging, pleading, listen, listen, listen to my beloved. For this is the way of understanding. This is not about data download. It's about understanding who we are and how we can be human in our time. For God is, as Irenaeus of Lyon said, God is the human person fully alive. Wouldn't that be marvelous if the Christian community was known as a place where you get alive? It's not about religion and formalism and ritual. It's about coming to life. And wherever there's life, you want that life to permeate everyone and everything, yes? And it is for that aliveness that Christ gives His life. Trying to persuade us that it's worth it. This is
worth it.
And that is what we're celebrating in the Eucharist, week after week after week. It looks like bread. It tastes like wine. But for those with the eyes to see, with hearts of faith and awareness, it is a pivotal means for the universe to become whole. Peter says, "Let's stay here." Jesus says, "Let's go to every dark nook and cranny there is, that we might permeate it with that transfiguring light and love." I want to share with you today a prayer poem from Rabia, an 8th century Muslim mystic woman, whose prayer poem, I believe, conveys the blazing intensity of what a transfiguring light and love feels like. "Oh, my God, all the good things you have prepared for me on this earth, give them to your enemies. And everything you have prepared for me in the world to come, give it to your friends. Because you alone are enough for me. My God, if I worship you out of fear of hell, burn me in hell. And if I worship you out of hope for paradise, keep me out of paradise. But if I worship you solely for yourself, do not deprive me of your eternal beauty. Oh God, all that I do and all that I desire in this world is to remember you. And in the world to come, my only desire is to meet you face to face. This is my desire. Now, do with me whatever you will." Amen. The peace which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.